Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Tom, is the dynasty over?
I have no comment. It's just ridiculous.
Tough way to start tonight, man.
A lot of people who follow and cover the team are jumping off the bridge.
You can look at the positives or you can focus on the negative.
You want to focus on the negative.
We've got to use those and try to learn from them.
He took a negative, turned it into a positive.
Does your past torment you?
I'm not sure where we're going with this.
Do you listen to sports talk radio? Do you read the newspapers?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
I'm out.
You guys.
Right now.
I think I would take the glasses half full approach.
The glasses half full.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, as promised, let's get right back to your phone call. 617-779-7937. Here's Stan up in Maine. What's up, Stan?
Hey, guys. Long time listener. Love this show. I was kind of sitting here laughing about that last caller who said that Tom Brady had happy feet. Apparently, he's never seen a quarterback in the NFL. But Maloney, you said that Brady never steps up into the pocket anymore, right?
No. Never said that.
Did you happen to see the throw to, you didn't say that?
No.
You didn't say he's not stepping up into the pocket anymore like he used to do?
No. I said that there's some times when if he stepped up and threw the football, he would have got out of bounds. But when you're falling down, you have to kind of throw it a little bit further.
It's kind of hard when your offensive line's getting pushed back into your lap. But
no, actually, there's a lot of times when he's falling down and there's nobody in his lap.
Nobody in his lap. He just takes a snap and drops to his knees. And,
yes, just like
shows
that.
Shows how spoiled we've become in New England when a 9-5 team is something to complain about. I think the Carolina.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Hey, Stan.
Yeah.
Why is that shocking? So you're accustomed to seeing a team that goes 14-2, 15-1, 16-0, 13-3, and suddenly it's 9-5, and a guy who's the greatest quarterback who ever played the game, who had an MVP season last year and could have been the MVP if he played 16 games the year before, is not playing at that same level. What are you protecting? We're sitting here trying to be honest. That's just right. Just honesty here.
Well, how am I protecting them? We're 9-5. We're going to win the division. We're more than likely going to win 11 games this year.
Oh yeah, 11-5. Where did you hear that before?
Nobody's saying that's disastrous. Matter of fact, in most NFL cities, they have parades for teams like this. We're not saying that.
Hung a banner for making it to the playoffs.
Why are you getting so rankled right now? Because we're sitting here saying that Tom Brady is not the same quarterback he was last year. Do you think he is, Dan?
No, statistically he's not where he was last year. But
and what do you think's going on? Why do you think he's not as good as he was last year?
The offense isn't nearly as good as it was last year. The offensive line's been hurt, and we don't have nearly as much of a running game. And we've had some key players injured, our key receivers injured on and off all year.
So why is it not happening now? Because they're all healthy. And your offensive line, I think, has been pretty good here, other than the penalties. So
last 4 weeks they've been
healthy. Right, I'm not blaming Brady for the penalties on Sunday. I don't think anybody.
The penalties were awful. The left tackle there, Brown, I mean, I don't know how many penalties he ended up with, 5 or 6, but he killed about 3 drives on his own.
Stan, do you think that Tom's been bailing on some throws more so lately?
I don't think his throws have been as accurate as they usually are.
Well, accuracy, I'm just talking about bailing out, like falling to the ground, not taking contact, but before contact, giving up on plays.
I think he's anticipating the pressure more this year than he has in years past.
Why do you think he's doing that, Stan? Okay, why do you think he's doing that?
Struggling.
Why do you think the offensive line is not struggling, Stan? They have one of the. No, this is a good offensive line. No, not a good offensive line. This is good.
No,
They were good at the beginning of the season.
They're good.
With some injuries, and I just haven't been so sure about them. And the way we can't seem to consistently run the ball, I don't know, I would think that would point a little bit to the offensive line.
Listen, they've had stints where they ran the ball great. Remember that time Sonny Michel was running for 100 yards every single game, like 3 games in a row? And the other thing is that the issues that we've seen in the past that have caused the Patriots trouble, offensive line continuity. Yeah, the guys are out, they're in. They can't play together. This group has basically been together, minus Trent Brown, for 2 years now. This is your second year. So, communication shouldn't be a problem. I mean, physically, guys get beat. Cannon will get beat, and Trent Brown will do something stupid. Tooney, whatever.
I mean, I don't think this is one of those, like,
I think they're one of the better offensive lines.
Yeah, I don't think when I look back at the 2018 Patriots and I say offensive line issues.
No.
Do you? I mean,
no. I say penalty issues by the offensive line Sunday. I'll get. You know,
sure.
Rip them for that.
But you know, there'll be. I mean, other seasons when you felt great about an offensive line,
right?
They'd have a couple games where you're just like, Jesus, they couldn't keep Tom upright. He's going to get killed then unless they got toasted left and right over here. So every offensive line in a 16-game season, there will be two or three where we sit there and say, these guys are a mess. But after that, you don't really hear about them. A lot of that's due because of your play at the quarterback. So to sit there and say it's because of the offensive line, whatever. I mean, I get it. I mean, everybody deserves the benefit of the doubt. It's Tom Brady. I understand that.
I just went on just, okay, worst teams to win the Super Bowl.
Was that your Google search?
Oh, I typed it in wrong. They fixed it for me.
Good.
You know, they said, did you mean?
Yes.
That happens to me all the time.
How often do they ask you to translate?
So I mentioned earlier, this is a Mike Reese stat that he threw out there on Sunday. The only team to win a Super Bowl with a losing record on the road was a 2010 Green Bay Packers.
Right.
So I just went and looked at a little bit at their season back in 2010. And
by the way, with a great quarterback.
They finished 10-6. Was their record. And it wasn't like some of the other teams had this run where like they struggled. They were like 7-5, and then they just went on and they won 6 in a row, 7 in a row, and they just steamrolled everybody because they finally figured it out. That wasn't the story of the 2010 Green Bay Packers. They won one here, lost another one here, won 3 in a row in the middle of the season, then lost one, won one. So they were up and down. But this is the line that just stands out to me. Then it says, then franchise quarterback Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers and the rest of the Packers totally dismantled the Falcons, and he became franchise quarterback Aaron Rodgers. So he decided, because he has that in him, he has that ability in him, I guess just to, you know, flip the switch and turn it on, that you started saying, oh, crap, we underestimated these guys. We thought they were dead and gone. We thought they were just, you know, just holding on for dear life, that they were vulnerable, and they're not. Because at a moment's notice, Brady, at still, maybe 2 years from now, no. Maybe he reaches for it and he can't find it. But he still has it in him.
Yeah, but when you're talking about teams that didn't do great in the regular season, I could take the two giant teams that beat the Patriots. One of them was 10-6. The other one was 9-7,
yeah, they're
believe,
in there,
right?
Also. 2011 New York Giants.
Right.
They were 9-7.
Right. So, and that was Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Who I do not believe, even though he's got two Super Bowl rings, is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No.
All right? So, but the Patriots can, at 11-5, can they do this? Of course they can do this. What we're asking is, with what your eyes tell you right now, watching these games, and they're going to look pretty good probably in the next 2 weeks. You know why? Because they're playing at home, and at home they always play well. I would not be surprised if one of these is a total blowout where they put 46 up on the board.
Here's what's going
to
make me nervous.
46-10.
Sure. I still think they're going to the Super Bowl.
One of them might be a little ugly, though.
But
wait. You what?
I still think they're going to the Super Bowl. I started the show saying that. They're not going to win it, but they are going to go to the Super Bowl again. Yes. What am I going to say? I saw a really important stat that maybe changed my mind.
So what happened to the beginning of the season where you said 11-5?
I said,
and they weren't
season.
Going to make it to the AFC. No, you
well,
said.
Well, I pulled the loo.
You said.
I pulled the loo.
You said.
I pulled the loo.
You would not. They were
the
not
going
to make it to the AFC championship.
Everybody knows what I mean when I say I pulled the loo. Okay, not 2 week loo. That's something completely different. I pulled the loo.
3 months.
11-5. That's them. But I think it's going to be different in the playoffs. And one of the things that always. Kind of, you know, stood out to me is when you look at the team, the Super Bowls or the AFC championships that they lost, or when they got bounced back in 2009, and when they had a road record of 2-6, they lost to a very good defensive team in the Baltimore Ravens. Very good. When you look at the 2012 Ravens, 2013 Broncos, 2015 Broncos, great defensive teams. Now, right now, the team that would, I guess, worry me the most defensively, it would be your Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
Okay, but you're telling me, if that's the case, that because I saw what they did against the Kansas City Chiefs. They played damn well against the Kansas City Chiefs, but they still end up losing.
They get the
that
charges
Lamar Jackson,
this week.
Lamar Jackson, one-dimensional Lamar Jackson is going to beat you.
He's a problem for this team.
No, he is not.
He is a problem for this team.
No, he won't be.
No.
He won't be.
Here's my feeling on Lamar Jackson. Until he learns to throw the football, good luck, kid. You're going to have a short career. You can't be a running back at quarterback. But I would say this, if the Baltimore Ravens, and that was my original prediction before the season began, come into Gillette Stadium against the New England Patriots with the defense that you just characterized, and they have the one-dimensional running quarterback against the team that can't stop the run, and the other kid, Collins, is a good running back as well, so they got two guys that can run. Patriots are going to have problems. That is a difficult game, and that team doesn't get intimidated by New England.
Oh, this is a three interception game for the Patriots.
I think
if they play the Ravens,
he doesn't throw the ball three times.
Okay, you're one dimensional. I am going to load the box and I'm going to bring extra guys because we can't stop the run anyway. So okay,
they can stop.
We have good corners. That's the thing. So matchup wise, would you say that's a good matchup for them? Defensively, as bad as they are.
Yeah, but see, you got
good corners. I think
it's a bad matchup.
But don't confuse that they have trouble stopping the run and going up against a running quarterback.
Yeah, they've had trouble against running quarterbacks the last couple of years.
This year, we'll see. This week, you got one this week in Allen. But I think they've been pretty good against running quarterbacks this year. So they might have trouble stopping the run as far as handing the ball to the running back and going through holes and everybody's gashing them. But running quarterback is not stopping the run.
I'm telling you,
that is running containing, quarterback who can't even
I would, that's
this
containing,
isn't Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, containing him. And like you said, Christian, you got corners out there that, you know, their weapons you feel pretty good about. No, they can contain Lamar Jackson.
Okay. I would say in the past, New England would be able to put up enough points on the board that you don't worry about a one-dimensional team like that that makes big plays, and that's what the kid does. He makes big plays. Can't throw the ball, but he makes big plays. In this case, low-scoring game here in Foxborough where you can't put up a lot of points on the board, I'd be concerned about that matchup. Al's in Everett. What do you got, Al?
Listen, guys, I've been listening to all the callers. Al, the Brady's doing this and Brady's doing that. Let's just forget about the Miami game. Okay. Because any other NFL team that played that game, and it was exactly the same situation, they would have won it. But we lost it. But now let's take the game that everybody's talking about against Pittsburgh. You're talking about Brady doing this and not doing that. For Christ's sake, 14 stupid penalties, 6 or more drops, and you expect them to win that game?
No.
You give me the 5 best quarterbacks in the National Football League and have them get those situations in their lap. And how many of them do you think would have won that game against Pittsburgh?
0.
Exactly the same situation.
None. Maybe Mark Sanchez.
So do you? Do
I didn't hear you.
Where the f*** are they all?
Al, I would say last year Tom Brady wins that football game with all those penalties.
You're kidding me.
I just asked my opinion.
What about the drops?
Yeah. Bad drops, bad penalties. Pittsburgh didn't play well. He finds a way to win.
Oh, Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I love Al. Is that our guy?
I do too.
I think it is.
I'm in love.
No, because the guy that called from Everett the other day said that's my guy. He was from
Glenn
Everett.
Glenn wasn't here for that.
Glenn, you weren't here.
Yeah.
You know the guy, this guy we're talking about here that we play on the internet?
How could it happen? Where the f*** are they all?
That's that guy.
That kid's son called in and said that's his dad. That's his dad. He's from Everett.
I think that's him.
I love Al. I need more of Al.
You knew they were going to do it.
You f*** me.
Because that's not the same Al from Everett that used to call for years. He's a different Al. Now he's a big sandwich magnet. You know, he owns sandwich shops everywhere.
Sandwich
if you need a
magnet.
Sandwich, call Al. Yeah. That's what he is.
What does that look like? It's like basically Subway?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, 617-779-7937. Right back to the phone calls.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
There you go.
Here's your Christmas music.
There you go.
You like this, huh?
Now we're getting there.
This is Lou's go-to Christmas
song.
Not
bad. This is not bad. Because I was a little worried when Ryan went in the other room and you said, go find me a Christmas song. And he said, all I know is like the Charlie Brown,
yeah.
like the instrumentals from
yeah,
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, that and like Bad Religion
it's like
sings.
Piano music. What? Right. It's not anything.
I tell you, he's got a really good Christmas album.
Who?
Is Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Right? You know which one I'm talking
yeah.
about? Stevie Wonder has one of the best.
How about Michael Bublé?
No.
You don't like Michael Bublé?
I don't really think
Christina Aguilera, Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
I'm just saying background music.
Yeah, yeah.
Harry Connick's a good go-to, though. I mean, really, Frank is the ultimate.
I mean, really?
Who doesn't have a Christmas album, though? I mean, is there an artist out there, matter what? I bet you he does.
What?
It's just, you haven't bought it yet.
What?
Sure he does.
It's an Eminem.
It must have one. He's got it was on.
He should.
What would Eminem
what would that
Christmas?
Sound like?
I just don't think he's the one guy that would never do. Oh, this is a great one.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, Harry's great. It's
classic.
It'd
be awful.
That'd be awful.
Stinks.
Oh, God. You're just, you don't have no clue. Your age just doesn't allow you to, go past Charlie Brown.
Yeah, my ears don't work. Charlie Brown Christmas came
Charlie
what?
Brown Christmas 1990s? Music was like 1950 or something.
The 60s.
What are you talking about? All right, let's get back to the phone call. 617-779-7937. I got to call myself out. I pulled a Stephen A. or a Francesa with you. Alex Collins did get injured like 2 weeks ago. And I remembered the injury, but didn't remember
no,
when I
you
was
said
arguing
Alex
the
Collins.
Debate.
I was
Alex
like, Collins. Well, you know what? I didn't
yeah,
want
to hurt too.
I don't want to pull
you
Teddy.
Can do it. You
big
can throw it out there.
Right
there.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards. I mean, Ray Rice, you got to stop him.
You can throw
and
it out
I mean, how
there.
Are you going to stop Pitta?
Did you see Ray Rice
Jamal
today?
Williams?
Yeah. Did you hear the interview with Ray Rice this morning at Good Morning America?
I did not.
Ooh, he was bringing up the whole incident right now.
You're just bringing this up now. Like, why didn't you bring this up on during the conference call? This has been a great
I couldn't talk during the conference call. I had a drill.
Oh, that's right.
So Ordway has to go to the dentist again, but he hops on the conference call. He says, yeah. Listen, sends us a text. Listen, I'm on the conference call. I'm listening.
Right.
As soon as we get on, we want to make sure he's on. So Lou says, listen, grunt or do something. Let us hear the drill so we know you're alive.
Give me a snort.
Yeah. So you were there. So you couldn't bring this up?
I couldn't bring it up. I would have brought it up to you. But it was very interesting because he's talking about Hunt maybe in the same predicament he is.
Broken.
But I will give him this because they were kind of in the interview talking about second chance and not getting a second chance. Could he get a second chance? He gave the politically correct answer. I got a second chance. I'm married to that woman who I love and
Whoa.
Adore.
Good. Oh,
good answer. Good
answer.
So he didn't answer.
Good for him.
He said he got a second chance. He has no regrets.
His second chance is with his wife, his girlfriend.
That was his second chance.
Well, true.
Priorities for you.
But
wouldn't you say, okay, if anyone did deserve a second chance, though, he does. He does. Most definitely.
You know why he didn't get a second chance? Because his game was already deteriorating.
No, I know.
That's why.
Ultimately why. If
so
was,
the question
if
is.
If he was Kareem Hunt's age, I just think like Ray Rice. Handled it, I mean, as far as,
he just wasn't good enough to get a job. That's
no, I know.
That's
no, I agree with
is.
You. If he was Kareem Hunt's age, but
sure.
he's a poster child for handling it the right way.
Peterson
I think
got a
he
job.
Because they thought he had something left.
And he did.
Yeah.
He still does.
And it was, hitting kids, not good.
Nearly as bad. I guess. So you smack your kid around. What's the big deal? What? Everybody, every now and then, you deserve a fresh one.
Is that worse?
Oh, God,
is that,
of, is don't that, make me come
well,
over
no,
there.
Is that worse than Michael Vick, or is that less of
no,
an offense?
No, well, here's the thing. The reality is that I'll be willing to bet that Adrian Peterson had a lot more sympathetic people out there that are going, in certain parts of the country
yeah,
that say,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
That's the problem with today's world. You yeah. can't smack your kid around anymore, right? Back in the day, I used to get smacked around with the ruler and the belt and everything
yeah.
else. So, but I don't think anybody sit there and said, that's the problem with the world. You can't smack a woman around anymore. What I mean? So I don't think
even
Ray Rice has much sympathy or certain parts of the country or whoever, anybody.
Even Michael Vick, though. I would sit there and say, well, a lot of, dog fight, big deal. So a couple dogs fight. So what?
Everybody loves dogs.
Well, I know, but some people don't look at fighting dogs the same way as they do Fido,
sure,
who you
do.
Allow on your bed.
But they did.
No, they don't. There's,
they were all
there's
over
your house
Michael
dog,
Vick.
Like your little Fido dog that you pet. And
oh, they were going after
him. He had no support at all out there.
No,
there was none.
Yet. Okay, there was still a section of the country that was like, what's the big deal?
No,
actually, section was
actually
that?
With
Southern,
Michael with Michael Vick, you
Southern
saw
Southern part of the
No,
region.
But with Michael Vick, you saw a different
Midwest
reaction.
Midwest area?
You saw a different reaction with him. I mean, those people actually did come out of the woodwork saying, man, you know what? You can smack a woman around, but don't you dare beat up a dog.
I'm telling you, that's what you
I
got.
I mean, it was like
He's
that
right.
was worse than any domestic violence would
Absolutely.
He
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Dante Brady speaking has a gash in his leg, bitten by one of the security dogs.
Dante Stallworth was out there drinking one night, plastered, ran over someone. A guy in Miami, right?
Yeah.
But he was back in the league. Michael Vick, different story.
I tell you what, there's no, I don't know, I was spanked like crazy as a kid. My brothers were, I mean, we were just on a moment's notice. It was like, pick out a belt or whatever. Like the other day, like my kids were like acting up, and I humored myself just to see what the reaction was. Like, listen, you're gonna get a spanking. They looked at me,
laughed,
and like paused, looked at each other, and then laughed.
Yeah. No, see, here's the thing.
Then call 911.
No, all you want. See, for me, it was just more about the threat.
Yeah.
Because I was convinced they would.
Oh yeah, there was credibility.
Now they look at you like. Psh. No, you won't. Oh, I'll call the cops, and then I'll go to the local TV stations, and then I'll leak it to the press.
Oh, yeah. There's no – yeah, because they will throw the threat right back at you, Glenn, just like you said. Oh, you do? Really? You want to play that game?
I'll videotape it on my camera. I'll do a selfie.
I will tweet it out in a second. I will hashtag me to you
yep.
to death. I will send it to your work.
You got
to
cancel those phone subscriptions.
Yep.
Oh, please.
I will take a picture, and then I will go on social media, and I will go put a video out there. Look what my dad just did to me, and this is his name, and this is his Twitter handle, and that's how to follow him.
Oh, man.
All right, back
We've
to the phone
We've lost all
calls.
Power.
Here's Randall in Vegas. What
now
do you
we
got,
take
Randall?
Xbox away.
Hey, how you doing today,
Good,
guys?
Randall. What's up?
Hey, so what do you guys think about my theory that I think Tom knows all along? I mean, he obviously watches the game tapes. He knows he's letting the ball go a little early, fade away a little. But I think he's playing the long game. He knows the most important thing is to get into the playoffs, get healthy. And I think come playoff time, we're going to see him start stepping up in the pocket a little bit more assertively, holding on to the ball that half second longer. What do you guys think?
We'll see. I mean, you're right. Maybe you're right. Christian says the same thing. And all I would say is we'll see. And I sure as hell hope so.
I think he has to. I think he has to play at a higher level.
I don't think you can throw those. I don't think you can throw. Basically, I feel like he wastes those opportunities. But yeah, there'll be more. I can burn this one down. There'll be more.
Well, he leaves for the next play.
Yeah, so it's like, that's all right. No, there'll be more.
But
third
Christian,
down, especially fourth
how about
quarter.
The red zone, though? I mean, you're talking, like you said, third down, red zone.
I think the red zone's
Pittsburgh?
I think it's a bigger issue.
You burn some down there?
Yeah. I think it's a bigger issue than just him, the red zone problems that they've had all year long. But if he doesn't do this, I'm not sure you can beat these teams.
Mm.
You know, if he does this, obviously takes his game to the next level, you got a much better chance. Peter's in Chicopee. Hi, Pete.
Yeah, Glenn, I called yesterday saying how Brady, I think, set the tone with the offseason. But you talked over my second point.
I apologize.
What a surprise.
Shocker.
Peter, it's a disease. Has sympathy.
Yeah, and what the point was is Brady even admitted that, hey, he needed to step away from football. He was burnt out. So let's say he put in 80% of what he usually does in the offseason. What's to say, why do we automatically assume he's putting in 100% all week long, that he isn't just putting in the 80%, especially because he doesn't have the Garoppolo factor there. And I'm telling you, for a guy who boasts how he has all the answers to the test, I watched the games with my buddies, and he looks more confused than I've seen him look in games, you know, for years. And then even on these Monday interviews, like in the morning, and even with Scratchy there, you know, he's always, wow, the defense gave us something we weren't expecting. And so I question, I'm not saying he's checked out. I just question if he's putting in the same amount of time that he used to when he was just, you know, a maniac about
it. All right, I'm going to interrupt you because you've gone on for a long time here, Pete. But I would say this, that his change in the offseason has to do with a family that's getting older. The kids are getting older. So he's spending more time with the kids. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. If you're going to have a quarterback that's 40, 41, 42 and beyond, I think you're going to have that issue. You don't necessarily have the issue with the 23, 24, and 25-year-old kids that are on your team.
This offseason is going to be about my family.
And I get that. I understand that. Is that the reason, missing some of the OTAs, that he's struggling right now? No, I think the bigger issue is he would like to play until he's 45, and he's bailing out on some plays. He's bailing out. I think his shape, his conditioning. I'm not questioning any of that. Are you guys?
I had a guy tweeting me the other day talking about how he just doesn't give a crap anymore.
I don't buy that.
Like you could tell by the look on his face.
Then why quit? Then why?
What face are you looking at? Like after the game is over and he looks sad and lonely, like nobody's giving him a high five. Yeah.
No, you know what the guy saw? The scoreboard.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
That's what he saw. He saw the scoreboard. Brady
you're
would walk away.
Like
I
a,
would think he would walk away.
You're all going to look like a bunch of fools. I'm going to give you another opportunity. Either you want to be part of the solution and part of the celebration.
You're going
with
Red
me.
Sox bullpen on me,
okay?
Right now.
Okay, I am going Red Sox, and I was on to that one also. So, listen, here's your chance.
Because you didn't know better.
Here is your chance.
Hey, I'm out.
50-50 chance.
Go yeah, ahead. You did. It's getting you stuck 50, with it. 50, hey, 50 like chance. I said, you're always right until you're wrong.
There's no love here.
I'm sorry. I'm not jumping on board.
He's got to show something, doesn't he?
Where's that? You have that Shaughnessy article up.
Yep.
So, and I think this is, what time is it right now? Oh, we're good.
What are you worried about the time for?
Because,
don't worry
you
about
know,
the time.
Sometimes I feel like you're old and you just
well,
get where you are.
Dan Shaughnessy.
I got you.
Dan,
I was gonna let him
Dan also
carrying your ass yeah, again today.
He likes to bob when others weave. You know what I mean? So that the sky is falling and the article is, don't forget about the Patriots' mojo factor.
What is mojo? What does that mean?
Well, Dan he just trying to do he says that this isn't the strongest edition of this team.
Great
right?
observation,
and the headlines and everybody is like, they look ordinary. Oh. He says, but at times like this, it's important to remember the secret weapon of the Patriots' reign over the last 18 years. It's time-tested, he says. I'm talking about the horseshoe, the juju, the karma. I'm talking about how football gods that always shine in the house of craft.
Our juju plays for the Steelers.
When all hope is lost, we need to remember that there's almost always a tuck rule. A goofy slant pass, or Patriots loving federal judge just around the corner. In spite of all the bad stuff that happened, the 2018 Patriots are not really in bad shape. All they need is a couple of things to break their way over the next few weeks. Wait for it. He says, these are the Patriots, and this means that the best player and an upcoming playoff opponent will either get hurt or pop for PEDs. Some defensive back will have a chance to end the season, the Patriots season. He intercepts the pass, but then that guy will decide to run with the ball, and he'll be stripped of the ball, and everything will change in the Patriots' favor. Then somebody named Blake Bortles will wind up being the only thing that stands in between the Patriots and a trip to the Super Bowl. So he talks about how fortunate they have been for 18 years, and he says, why should this change now?
This is his friend Mojo, who you're familiar with.
He's written this story before. Matter of fact, 2 days ago, if you look in the archives, 2 days ago, he basically said it was over, didn't he?
No, I know, but then it gets so loud that the
company, he went the other direction.
The people saying that it's over, so then you got to write an article saying, ho,
very
hold on.
Good. Contrarian.
It's not over.
Oh, convenient contrarian.
Yes.
One
yes.
day ago, the article was, is this the end for the Patriots dynasty?
Yeah.
It was a day ago.
Lou,
yeah.
At least you wait 2 weeks, right?
Hey. Nobody remembers what happened yesterday. Nobody remembers, and that's, I remember that article too, and I just kind of was like, oh, here we go again. Like, this, and you said that, all right, he probably had that written maybe like last year or the year before that.
He writes
the
all the stuff.
3 years. Yeah. Let me go to my file. Let me see. Okay, end of a dynasty. Oh, there it is. I'm pull it out. Change the date. I'm going to change a couple other
facts.
Does
this all the time.
But just when things are dire, you know, to your best case scenario, should we dare call
it
that?
Best case scenario.
They'll beat the Bills. They'll beat the Jets. Nobody around here will be that impressed because it's the Bills and it's the Jets and it's
don't
at
be
home.
Obtuse.
But meanwhile, the Houston Texans will drop a game. Whether it's in Philly or whether it's in, you know, home against Jacksonville.
I think that's going to happen.
And they'll get the number 2 seed.
I like this mojo.
Meanwhile, the Chargers will go back to Kansas City as the 5 seed.
Yep.
They'll beat the Chiefs, and the Chargers will come to Gillette.
Correct.
So that's the best case. He's like, it's going to happen because it's the Patriots, and things always fall in their way.
Sorry.
WrestleMania mojo.
Sorry, Dan. I brought this up Sunday night.
Maybe he heard
show.
You yesterday and said, you know what, that makes for a good article.
Either that or he heard Christian earlier today at 2 o'clock and he wrote that article very quickly.
He works fast.
Way right. ahead of you.
Flipping
way ahead of
direction.
You, Dan.
Come
way
on, Dan.
Way ahead of you. What do you call him, Shank?
Shank.
Shank.
He hates that
said.
Too, by the way.
Oh, he does?
I call him Shank, yeah.
That's a good nickname.
See, Shanks people. He knifes people
oh,
in the back.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, when they're not looking.
Yeah, the
right.
old 80 Celtics gave him that nickname.
Oh,
Shank Shaughnessy.
Let's go way back. Way back time machine.
I'm Glenn Orwell. I'll be your host.
He's indefatigable.
He's a curly-haired boyfriend in my locker room.
That's right. Yeah, the Red Sox called him the curly-haired boyfriend.
I don't remember him.
Carl Everett.
I don't remember him.
Carl Everett got in him a little bit.
I don't remember him at all.
I hate you guys.
All right, 617-779-7937. Right back to the calls next.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
My man is Chucky, because he's funky. Yeah. So let's take a ride, baby.
What the hell is this?
He's bobbing his head. This has got to be from the Ryan Captain Furious collection.
This is great.
Ryan, who is this?
Bootsy Collins.
Who?
Bootsy Collins.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah, right up there with Harry Connick Jr. He's known for his music chops.
Please.
Don't you be knocking Harry Connick Jr. He's an actor, too, you know.
I should stick to it.
Hey, in Pittsburgh, everybody was praising Ben Roethlisberger, even though I didn't think he played a real good game. But they were praising him because, remember, he played through cracked ribs. So today he does his little radio program, and he basically says, I have no idea where that came from. He said, my wife texted me before the game and said, did you hear about this? I'm in the locker room. I don't know where that guy gets his information from. So we're not going to give him any credence on this show. He said he was dealing with an issue, but no, he didn't have cracked ribs. He didn't have an issue.
The guy
made it up.
Like a muscle tendonish, something like that, like soft tissue type injury.
All right, to play the Rappaport.
No. Yeah, the Oakland X-ray machine, the faulty machine, actually talked to Ray, and the response I got was, if it's something crazy, it probably happens in Oakland. But I was able to get to the bottom of this to solve this great mystery. I'm told that Ben Roethlisberger did, in fact, have cracked ribs during that game. Nothing that should really limit him going forward. Wouldn't be surprised if he has more, let's say, treatment like he did last week.
Hold on. I'm sorry. If you're a quarterback and you have cracked ribs, it is going to affect you going forward. Can't sit there and say, the guy's got cracked ribs. Won't be a problem. He'll be fine.
Not going to affect him.
What are you talking about? That's ridiculous. This is one of two things. Either Roethlisberger wants to stick it to the writer who came up with this, where'd that come from, you know, and my wife was asking me where it came from, or he doesn't like the fact that the compliments he's getting from the media in Pittsburgh about that game is not bad for a guy who had cracked ribs.
They were cracked.
It wasn't a good game, but for a guy who had cracked ribs,
he's tough.
A good game.
He's a warrior.
Exactly. Well, he had something right in there.
He said it. He said he had an issue, but it was not.
They were cracked.
They weren't correct. Apparently,
he gave the typical line, the PC line. We're all dealing with a lot of pain
this time of year. No one's 100%. It's the NFL. I don't know if he knew that or not.
That's exactly what he did. This is Justin in Manchester. What do you got, Justin?
I was just calling to weigh in on the your Brady bailing out take. I think he's basically protecting his TB12 brand. I think he's trying to avoid to get hurt. Because if he gets hurt, his TB12 brand is pretty much useless because it's supposed to pliability, right, protecting him from injuries. You know, if he gets hurt, that all goes out the window.
Yeah, but I hear you, and I think that there is something to that. He's also trying to keep his career alive till he's 45. But is anybody going to stop going to get pliability training or whatever? Because Tom Brady gets whacked by the J.J. Watt or T.J. Watt or whatever, and they take him off on a cart. Is anybody going to say, oh, my God,
it doesn't work.
That TB12 stuff doesn't work.
Oh. Super, super pliable.
It ain't working.
You got to watch out for those defensive linemen. They kill you.
It has been working for him, though.
Yes. He's playing at 41. At age 40, he was the MVP. That's a high level. I think he's doing it because he's telling the truth when he tells us he wants to play at least 45.
Two things kind of come into his numbers dropping. One, which I think we've heard early in the year about his 95% of the time you're gonna win the game if you just don't turn it over.
Yeah.
That's one part of it. So he's aware of that. So less chances, right, because maybe we're not as good, so I can't put our team in a crappy situation. Two, it's the whole fadeaway effect, the throw and bail. It's like a new terminology, football terminology. I just saw it trending.
Throw and bail.
It's usually what I would do, like, to my friends when I was younger, when they're like, hey, stay with me. I got a good chance with this girl. I'm like, no. Ninja dust, throw and bail. Throw the ninja dust, bail away.
Here's Dino up next. Hello, Dino.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Dino.
Hey, everyone's got to stop with this TB12. Listen, can we all agree he's 41 and physically?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to agree that he's 41.
I'm going to agree with that, too.
I agree he's 41.
I would agree with that.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
Okay, so physically he can still do it, right? The throw he made a couple weeks ago, his arm strength's still there when he does everything. So I don't have an issue with him protecting himself because, look, I want him to play for another 2 or 3 years. I don't know about you guys, but I want him pulling the trigger the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. But the couple of mistakes mentally, right? What did we always do? We always were the best situational team in the league, right?
And yeah.
If that Cannon penalty, which wasn't a hold, it would have been second and goal from the 2. If we punch it in there, Brady doesn't make the next throw off of his back foot, right? But the mistake in Miami, taking the sack, listen, he didn't think they had timeouts. We all know that. That was just a bad mental high school level mistake. Throwing off his back foot.
But we're not talking. Hold on. We're not talking about that, Tino. We agree. Right. It was a stupid, idiotic thing to do. He's never done it before, right. And I don't think he'll ever do it again.
Right.
We're talking about the fact that he is bailing out. He is bailing out on passes.
But
yes,
I know.
Including the last play of the game in Pittsburgh, he's bailing out.
I know. Well, listen, on that play, right? Like that again, situational football. Because I was just looking at the replay, right? On third and 15, he's got White wide open, right? And White is at the 21-22. The next closest guy is 2 yards deep in the end zone as White was going towards the sideline. So let's just split the difference there and say they both arrive at the same time, 10-yard line. Now it's 4th and 5, and situation like nobody manages the clock better than we do.
But White would have had to get out of bounds, and we can go through that whole play. We're not trying to go through relive play by play of the Pittsburgh game again. I mean, I think what we're talking about is Brady bailing out. Christian's convinced he's going to go back to the old Brady when we get to the playoffs. He's going to put his body on the line.
I hope so.
Yeah, and I think he has to. I think there's a difference in his game. I get it if he's looking at it saying, I don't want to turn the ball over because I got a better chance of winning the game. And second of all, I don't want to get whacked on each one of these plays. So I'm not going to take the hit on the pass and follow through. I'm going to be more protective because I want to play until I'm 45. That makes some sense.
Sure.
Here's Joy in a car. Joy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey.
This wasn't part of my original plan, but you guys need to look into Bob Rivers' Twisted Christmas.
Check it out. Check it out.
Bob Rivers' Christmas.
I like Twisted Christmas. Right. I do like Twisted Christmas.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. And obviously, nowadays, you can't play half of that on the radio, but...
Really?
Yeah,
why can't you play half of it?
Different songs there.
Thank God she said that Ryan was ready to play.
I know, right?
That's a mess. Go.
Say explicit.
Cost myself a lot of money.
Some of them you can, and then there's one or two that you'll get a chuckle out.
Oh, good. I like chuckles.
Oh. Okay. Christian, question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
You know how, like at the beginning of the game, you have set plays.
Sure. Like, yep.
Yeah,
the so scripted like, first 10 plays, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yep. So, do you like stop once you get a touchdown, or do you, and then there's the next round of plays, or do you just run it through usually?
Let's say you script the first 10 plays, right, and the first play is a touchdown. You come back on the very next series and you run the second play, right?
Okay.
Because what they're doing with those 10 plays is they're, one, you know, using, you know, the other teams that they're going against, their tendencies as an advantage. Two, you're trying to figure out how they're going to line up in certain fronts and certain motions, which you'll use later on. And then once you're done with them, you're done with them, right? Like you just – sometimes I've had scripted plays blow up where you don't get to the ninth or tenth play until like the third series because you're just – either you're throwing a pick, you're three and out, and nobody knows what you're doing. So but that's how it works.
Okay. I was just asking because a lot of times it just seems like there's not a lot of conviction in the plays, and I mean I know –
What do you mean not a lot of conviction?
See, I thought you were going to say that it seems like, you know, they go out there in the first drive, they score a touchdown, and then think now that it's no longer scripted, they look awful the rest of the game.
Well, lately, but I just...
Oh, he did that. Third play, they scored.
That's what I mean.
Exactly. So that's why I was asking about that. But lately, it just seems like, I mean, Josh always runs into that, I want to see what they're going to do, I want to see what they're going to do. And sometimes it just seems like, you know... All we're worried about is what they're going to look like. And
well, that is part of it, though.
End result is.
Yeah, but that is part of it, Joy. That out of the gate, what you want to do is you want to throw looks to the other team to kind of figure out how they're going to defend you, what they're going to do. So you do that. That's part of it.
See the people out of Pittsburgh? Like, is this contrasting views, I should say, of what Tomlin did with, was it Artie Burns?
Yes.
The corner that hasn't played forever. They moved the guy to the slot.
He started.
But they did it for like one play?
Yeah, a couple plays, I think.
Or two plays,
yeah.
And then they pulled him for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So one was ripping him for doing it, and the other one was complimenting him, saying, ha-ha, he was trying to trick Tom. He was trying to show them personnel and then pull it off the field. and he wouldn't know how to react afterwards.
So one guy's probably a Tomlin supporter, and the other one probably thinks he sucks and should have been fired a couple years ago. We have some Twisted Christmas, if you want.
We do.
Has it been edited?
Is it legal?
Just give it a listen.
You
guys are parodies?
Check it out.
Ooh, I like it already.
Yeah, sing along. The wife is missing. Didn't ask for her permission. I'm wearing her clothes, her silk pantyhose, walking around in women's underwear. Okay. In the store. Okay.
Sounds like a typical Christmas song to me. With little
straps. Ooh. Like spaghetti. Oh, okay. It holds me so tight, like handcuffs at night. Walking around in women's underwear. All right, see, it's nice and soothing.
I agree. I think it's a good Christmas song.
Background music. I like
it. Play it for the kids tonight.
See, that's one of those things. You know, like you do, you sit there. I don't know if you have people over Christmas Day or Christmas
Eve
night.
Yes.
You play like some. So you always play like some kind of Christmas music in the background, right?
Kind
of like on a low level.
Mm-hmm.
Play that.
Just see
how long before somebody picks up on it. It's like, wait a minute, what the hell? What is?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because they'll just think it's a certain song, and I wonder how long it would take for people to pick
what
up.
What time
on.
Of the day I'm are we playing that. This? Are we playing this early?
Well, yeah, you know, you play around 5:36. You start to get settled in a little bit. You're trying some apps. You're trying the prosciutto on the cheese.
Oh, the prosciutto comes out.
Yeah, the Parmesan's out there, the Reggiano with the prosciutto, and then now all of a sudden, next thing you know, people are like, "What the hell's going on?" Here comes,
I'm going to try that. Yeah. I am, unfortunately, we are hosting Christmas Day, which I completely voted against. I just don't want to do it.
How expensive is the meal going to be for
this? No.
Wait till you hear the price.
You'll find out when you watch the video out there.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. No.
$500 for a lamb shank?
This is a potluck Christmas. Everybody's got to bring something.
Really?
We're just using the house.
What do you have?
I do not know yet. Probably some leftover gumbo. Probably thaw that out, kind of act like I made it fresh. Here we go again.
You going to make any bacala?
Who's the what?
Not baklava, bacala.
Bacala.
That's a Greek dish.
No, baklava is the Greek dish.
Yeah, it's baklava. It's a Greek dish, like a dessert.
Bacala is different.
$275 worth of Alaskan that's king crab. That's not even including shrimp. That's just king crab.
Mm-hmm.
I would play that, what's it, Bob Rivers' Twisted Christmas in the background. And you're right. Wait until one of the guests hear the lyrics. See if anybody picks up on
it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. My guess is they won't pick up on the lyrics.
I bet you the kids do.
Hey, Google, play Twisted Christmas. See what comes out.
Exactly.
I bet you the kids do first.
Till you get a guest say, are they talking about some guy wearing women's underwear?
No, it'll be someone's going to be like, they're talking about women's underwear.
No, because someone, I guarantee, will start singing, walking around Winter Wonderland. And he'll be like, actually, that's not the words. Listen a little closer.
The problem is that the kids, once they hear it, they will start singing the Twisted version.
Yeah. Well, you'll never get the real version ever again.
Then we got problems.
All right, we got another hour to go here, fellas.